Today's scripture comes from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with God in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay. For those of you that are with us for the first time and maybe have missed the last couple of weeks, this is the third and final sermon on my series on faith and politics and what God has to say in the midst of all this. And we're going to do something else for the last time. Get out your cell phones. You're going to text vote today. We're going to have a vote. We've got three questions we want you to vote on. And get your cell phones out. And we've got the number listed there for you. Today we're going to be talking about the faith of candidates. Does faith matter? Does the religious affiliation matter? The first question we want to vote on this morning is, should the president be a religious person? Should the president be a religious person? Text a code to 22333. Go ahead and do that now. And in your message line, type in 452715 or 453141. Okay. 453141. Okay. All right. That's pretty overwhelming, isn't it? Yes. The president should be a religious person. Okay. 13% said not necessarily. Uh-oh. 26%. Remember, you're only allowed to vote one time. It's going to stop you from voting. So, okay. Pretty good majority, don't you think? So you all think that the president should be a religious person. Now, let's go to the next question. New text. Does their religious affiliation matter? In other words, does their faith, their denomination, their faith tradition, their tribe, if you will, their form of religion matter? Let's text that to 22333. Yes or no? Okay. Three, three. Okay. Apparently not. That's interesting. But they should be a religious person, you're saying. It just doesn't really matter which religion, apparently, that they belong to. And that's interesting. Okay, we're still voting? Okay. I think we got one more question. Does your faith influence how you vote? Does your faith influence how you vote? 8, 3, 4, 4, 3. Okay. 77%, 79%. Okay. Pretty good. Have you all enjoyed doing this during worship? It's kind of cool. It's kind of fun. We're going to use this again, I'm sure, for various things. We thought this was a perfect way to introduce it to you and to do it, to get a vote. But these are the questions I want to deal with today in today's final sermon of three on faith and politics, because election day is just 45 days away. as of today, 45 days, and 40 days on Friday if you begin the prayer thing. What role should a candidate's faith play in determining his or her fitness for office? In other words, should a presidential candidate be a religious person? These are the questions that we've asked you. Another question might be, does a candidate's particular religious affiliation matter? Well, we've seen what you've said. Now, I know this is not really a major topic of discussion lately in the media. However, it does pop up every now and then, especially when they first declare their candidacy. But me, as Christian voters, I personally think that it does matter and that these are important questions as we go to vote the person who will represent our nation, the person who will lead the most powerful nation on the earth. But it also prompted another question in me this week, and that question was, what role does our faith play in how we live our lives and make decisions? I think I want to share with you today, because I believe God has something to say about it and give us some wisdom and direction. The same poll was taken some time ago. Actually, it was 2007. A national poll showed that 60% of Americans believe that it was important that the candidate for president be a religious person. So you were right up there with them. Your percentages were much higher, only 60% nationwide. That same study showed that 50% said that their personal faith sometimes or always guides their decisions in who to vote for. However, 66% said that the particular religious affiliation did not matter and would not influence who to vote for. So you can see that these issues are important to most Americans. And why shouldn't it be? These are the people who will be leading our country, making some very important decisions. But what will those decisions be based on? How will they formulate those decisions? What morals and values, what teachings or beliefs will help form the foundation for their decision-making process? And then I thought about, well, how does it influence my decision-making process? What role does my faith play in making those large, possibly life-changing decisions in my life? I try to be a good decision maker. I try to weigh all the pros and cons, and then I also consider Scripture. What does God have to say about different issues or different things? I think about my past experience, what dumb mistakes or dumb choices I've made in the past that might influence how I make this decision, and of course, just using good old common sense. These are the things that help me make those important decisions, perhaps you also. I try to make decisions looking through the lens of my faith and remembering who I am and whose I am. I can say that whenever I make an important decision, I will ask myself, will this decision glorify God? Will this decision somehow ruin my witness or help my witness as a follower of Jesus Christ? As a voter, I want the person that I vote for to do the same thing. I want a president who knows and believes what Micah 6:8 says. And Micah 6:8 says to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's the kind of president I want. That's the kind of person I want running this country. I want a president who seeks to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I want a president who is a person of faith, who prays regularly, who wants to be shaped and formed by the values and the teachings of Scripture. You know, being a person of faith is really a matter of character and trust, integrity, honesty, and putting the needs of others before our own, like we shared with the children a little bit with the rainbow fish. Well, the Apostle Paul in today's reading had something to say about these things. with regard to our character. He writes in today's epistle a lesson on how to live as people of faith. He's giving us a description of what a person of faith, a true Christian, looks like, what a relationship with Jesus Christ looks like, and how it is lived out daily in community. He tells us we are to be heavenly minded about worldly affairs, that our behavior, our actions, our choices should reflect the love of God through things like acts of compassion, kindness. He tells us that our attitude should be that of Christ, the attitude of humility, kindness, patience, and generosity. He stresses that the marks of a real Christian are evidenced by a forgiving spirit, love for all people, peace, and to have an attitude of gratitude. It's one of my favorite sayings, that attitude of gratitude. Then he sums it all up by saying this: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And whatever you do, that covers a lot of territory, folks. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. The Apostle Peter says it a little differently in his third chapter of his first letter. What sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness? And we could ask the same questions to our presidential candidates as well. What sort of person ought a president, or any elected official for that matter, be? These words are for all of us, whether we're ordinary John or Jane Q. citizen, or running for president of the United States. I am looking for a candidate who believes and tries to live by the teachings of Jesus. A candidate who believes in personal holiness as well as social holiness. A president who knows and takes seriously Jesus when it comes to being a peacemaker instead of a warmonger. A candidate who believes in caring for the poor, the marginalized, the disenfranchised, the sick, and the vulnerable among us. A candidate who's willing to turn the other cheek and to do unto others. I want a president who believes in and takes Scripture seriously in light of Scripture's historical context. Frankly, I want a candidate who does not align him or herself with the extreme right or the extreme, but is a candidate who is willing to see gray in a world of black and white, like we talked about. A candidate who's willing to reach across the aisle of partisan politics and build bridges instead. But this raises another question. Is being a religious person of whatever faith good enough to be president? In other words, can someone be a good president and not be a Christian? You all know that both presidential candidates are men of faith. President Obama is a Christian. He was baptized a Christian in 1988 and has been a member of Trinity United Church of Christ ever since, therefore dispelling any rumors on the internet that he is a Muslim. His opponent, Mitt Romney, however, is a Mormon, a member of the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And although the Latter-day Saints Church follows many of the teachings of Jesus, Mormonism is considered Christian, Catholics and Protestants. I'm fading out here. Nevertheless, if you know anything about Mormons, and some of you probably have Mormon friends, as I do, I can't think of people who have higher morals and are more family-oriented than Mormon folk. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe in the resurrection. They don't believe, however, in the Holy Trinity or the historic creeds of the Christian church. But what does all this mean as we consider the next leader of the United States? If they were non-Christian, say a Jew or a Muslim or a Jehovah's Witness or even agnostic, what would that mean? Some of you history buffs probably know Roger Williams, know of Roger Williams, who lived back in the 1600s, and a man of deep Christian belief and father of religious liberty in our country. He said in 1655 that, and I'm paraphrasing, as long as a group believes in and contributes to the common welfare, how and or whom they worship should have no bearing on their status as citizens. Since our democracy leaders are drawn from the ranks of the citizens like you and me, the same principle applies to their qualifications for elected office. For me, a candidate's faith is important, but I also know that the office of president also requires some other very special gifts and skills. Yes, a candidate may be a person of faith, whatever faith, but may not be all that good with things like excellent communication skills or analytical skills or diplomatic or other leadership skills. Do you want a candidate to be Christian or a candidate with some really exceptional, extraordinary gifts and skills that will be essential to leading our great nation? Let me put it to you another way. Suppose you have a loved one who has a brain tumor. Would you choose a Christian doctor based solely on the fact that they were a Christian? Or would you choose a surgeon who is world-renowned, well-known, and extraordinarily skilled and experienced in this particular type of operation? If it were me, I'm going with the doctor with the skills and the experience, frankly. It would be great if they happened to be a Christian or at least a person of faith. But if not, I'm still going to pray for him or her as they operate on my loved one. Likewise, given the choice between two equally gifted and experienced candidates for president, one being a person of faith and one not, I'm going to go with the one who will, in the words of Paul, do all things in the name of the Lord. Someone who will be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. Someone who will follow the teachings of Scripture and a person of prayer. However, if they are not equally gifted, and the person of faith lacked the skills and the gifts needed for the office of president, then I would, without hesitation, vote for the non-Christian and pray for him or her as I would for the brain surgeon. It might be helpful to remember or know something about our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. Historians debate the issue of Abraham Lincoln's faith. Some say that Lincoln was an unbeliever, in fact, although he mentioned God often in his inaugural addresses and in many of his speeches. He was never the member of a church, nor professed a clear standard profession of Christian beliefs. He didn't talk much about faith or about religion at all. His opinions on matters of faith were clearly not orthodox, according to most historians. But something about Abraham Lincoln is very special to all of us. I found something that he said that touched me deeply and somehow, some way, knew that he had a special connection with God. Those of you that have been in my new member class probably remember a video where Abraham Lincoln is quoted. Abraham Lincoln, during the height of the Civil War, said this, quote, "No church soldiers to the battlefield or more nurses to hospitals than the Methodist Church. God bless the Methodist Church. God bless all the churches." Folks, I believe that faith does matter. I believe it's very important. When it comes to voting on November 6th, it will not be easy for some of us. Clearly, neither candidate really meets the perfect example that we would expect. All of them fall short. I'm asking you to bring your faith to bear as you go to vote November 6th. Of course, I can't tell you who to vote for, but I am asking you to get involved in the political process, to get out and vote. But don't just vote, listen. Listen to the debates. Listen to what the candidates are saying. Vote for the candidate you think can believe can restore our nation's credibility and respect around the world. The candidate you think will represent our nation well, both at home and abroad. For the candidate that will be a bridge builder, a peacemaker, someone who can see the gray in a world in white. It was going to be easy? All. Pray about your choice. That is what this 40 days of prayer is all about, is to pray for our nation as we head into this election on November 6th. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to select the next president of the United States and for many other politicians and leaders of our community, our state, and our nation. Lord, it is not easy. We know, Lord, that you have given them the authority, the positions of power and influence. But we know, Lord, that they are supposed to use it wisely. Help us as the citizenry. Help us as voters to choose wisely, to use scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. And help us as a nation, Lord, to be healed. For we know, Lord, that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, we will hear from heaven and you will heal our land. Give us wisdom, give us discernment, Lord. Give us grace above all. Thank you for this series. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for Jesus. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.